So let's pray as we come to God's word this morning. Lord, we just thank you for your word, and we thank you that the gospel changes everything. And we pray this morning as we look at the workplace and the gospel that you would help us and open our hearts and minds. You would change us and help us to make a difference in the city in which we live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So just to tell you a little bit about my background, I've been a pastor for a long time now. It's approaching 37 years if you include Bible school. I did work, while I was at Bible school, I was working in a printing company. So we go to Bible school in the morning, a printing company in the afternoons, and in the evenings, come home, and I was 22 and we had our first child. So I was kind of, we were involved in the whole thing. And my wife is just, she did a social work degree in her 50s, and so she could also help us with our income. And so it's just been amazing to go through that journey. And being a pastor is also real work. We do have real jobs. And sometimes it's, in a sense, more challenging because you work with volunteers. You can't fire people if they come late to church on Sundays. I want to just give you some principles this morning and just to help you how you can be a better steward in the workplace. We did tackle this subject about 3 years ago when we did our Nehemiah series. And it's up there if we can just go there. It is Grace Generation Impact of Work. So we dealt with it more thoroughly. But we want to expand on that this morning and touch on some of those principles. I'm not going to preach for too long because we've also got a panel discussion. But last week, Masala started with an outstanding introduction. He's just such a gift to us. And he was saying to us that stewardship really comes from two Greek words, the word oikos, which means house, and the word nomos, which means law, house laws or house rules. So the word economia comes out of it, how to do economics, and it's really how to take care of things in a family context, how to be a good manager, how to be a good steward with what God has given you, your gifts, your time, your talent, your resources, and how we can do that to the glory of God. And it involves things like having responsibility and also authority in your God-given sphere, whether it's at work or whether it's with your kids at home. It's to be a good manager. This thing of management in the Bible is really important. God is not just interested in what happens in church on Sundays, but he's interested in the rest of the week, from Monday to Saturday. The gospel affects the whole of our lives. And Jesus, in Luke chapter 12, verse 42, he says, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time?" So you've got time management, you've got wisdom, you've got faithfulness. "Blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions." And so when you're faithful with the little that God has given you, God will expand that and he will reward you, because he loves faithfulness and doing a job excellently. And so it involves really having an integrated life. It's to bring together the spiritual and the physical, to bring together what happens on Sundays with what happens on Mondays when you get up to go to work tomorrow. It's involving your private life and your public life, your worship and your work, and what you do with the whole of your life. God wants to be glorified in everything that you do. Sunday is not more important than Monday. I've been preaching down in East London as well with my friend Marius. They're in the middle of a series on stewardship. It's interesting that the body of Christ seems to be looking at this at the moment. And Marius says that stewardship is really the outworking of sonship. It's the outworking of sonship. It's liberating and purposeful. It's managing my gifts, my time, my wealth and resources to make Jesus known to the world. And so it involves the gospel. We'll bring the gospel in just now. And so that's what we're looking for today, folks. It's how we can be a good manager of what God has given us. And God has given us all talents and time and money and resources in order to manage. And he wants us to do that for his glory. And it also involves a family discussion. It's good for you to sit down with your family and say, what has God called us as a family to do? And so we don't just want giving to the church. We do want that. But we'd love you as a family to sit down with your husband and wife, or if you're a single mom with your kids, and say, what can we do with what God has given us to extend the kingdom of God. We have a lady that works for us. She's brilliant, and she's also an intercessor, and she prays for me on all these trips. As I think I've told you before, she's just amazing. She's a prayer powerhouse. And I shouldn't tell you this, but sometimes I say to her, don't come to work, just stay at home and I'll pay you and pray for me while I'm away. And my wife and I have come to that understanding, haven't we, honey? And so that's wonderful, but she prays for me and she prays for us, and I feel the difference. And I visited her in her home the one day, and I know other people have done this, and I just noticed that she, in her house, she didn't have a ceiling. She just had corrugated roof, and there were kind of holes in the corrugated iron. And so Louise also, she works also for Louise. And so we just got together and we said, can we put together some resources to put a ceiling in for her? And we were able to do that. And it made such a difference to her life, particularly going through winter. Although I don't think we've had much of a winter, but it really made a difference to her life. And when the rain comes, it'll make a difference. So how can we take our resources and time, and how can we make a difference where God has called us to make a difference? And so I'd encourage you to think about this and to talk to your wife and talk to your family. And it doesn't have to be thousands of rand, but it can just be your time and your effort. I loved listening to the lady this morning that said, we graduates and we're just serving our community as we've discovered our gifts. I thought that was just brilliant. And so we want to look at the subject of stewardship. And I know that I'm speaking into a situation where there are also some challenges in South Africa. We're living in difficult financial times. And we're also living in a situation where there's often bad stewardship, where there's often bad management. And so how can I be a good steward in the midst of a situation where sometimes there isn't good stewardship? And how can I glorify God with my finances even when there's too much month at the end of my money? And I know what it's like to be in that situation as well. And so I want to speak into that this morning. The workplace has also changed radically over the last 20 years as we move beyond the information age into a whole new era with new types of work. Part of that was the transformation that took place in our country after apartheid. But also right around the world, there are global changes with rising unemployment, huge turnover in jobs, different types of jobs. I was talking to Susan Almeida yesterday. Susan used to be a PA, a secretary that worked here in our office. Now Susan is a virtual PA. She's up there on the cloud somewhere. And you can employ your services from Sydney to Singapore. She's a virtual PA. So things are changing. And she was telling me about that yesterday. And so the whole workplace is changing. In a place like India, 18 million people enter the workplace every month in India. Every month, another 18 million enter the workplace trying to find jobs. And so work has also become secularized today as God has pushed out of the workplace. And so we find that people today are working for me and not working for God amidst the breakdown in social fabric. Work doesn't always work anymore. It's become meaningless. And so we really need the gospel to give us a fresh perspective of what happens in the workplace. The gospel gives me a new map of reality, the way I see my work and the way I work for the Lord. Tim Keller says in his book, Every Good Endeavor, he says that we need to know the Bible's answer to three questions. One, why do we need to work? Maybe you've thought about that as well. But we do need to work in order to lead a fulfilled life. Work was there, as Masala said last week, before the fall. God wants us to work. It's good for us. Secondly, why is it so hard to work? And thirdly, how can we overcome the difficulties and find satisfaction at work? And so we want to speak into that today and also pray for one another as well. We've kind of developed a little bit of a practice where we don't just want to pray for you, or for your business, but we want to pray at your business and pray at your workplace. And as, particularly with Dave Larson, with his business, it's been through lots of ups and downs. And he's dependent on contracts and income. And often we've said, Dave, let's go to your business and let's lay hands on your computers and let's pray at your business. And so this morning we want to pray for you at the end of the service. But if you need some of us to come and pray at your workplace, we'd love to do that. I was praying the other day, someone was a school teacher in this in this congregation said, I'm having such hassles with my kids. And I said, let's go and pray before school starts. And they start earlier. So we got there very early. And we laid hands on every desk. And we prayed over his classroom for the glory of God. Amen. And so we want to see the gospel make a difference. And so the first thing I want you to realize as we get into this is you need to embrace the fact that your workspace is part of your calling. It's part of your calling. It's where God has placed you. And so we want to look, first of all, number A is placement. If we can go back a bit. We want to look at placement. God has placed you there. And if we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 17, Paul is writing to the Corinthians about marriage, and then tucked in there in his passage on marriage and divorce and singles, he says this, only let each person lead the life that God has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. And so what we want to realize here is that where you are at the moment, Paul's writing to those that have just got saved, and he's saying to you, now that you've got saved, don't go crazy, don't leave your job, don't leave your wife. Stay where you are when you were called. And I think the principle is applicable for us even now. And so where you are right now is your calling. Where you are right now is where God wants to use you. It's where God has placed you and where God wants to shine through you, even though there may be challenges. And so it doesn't mean that you have to stay in your job forever, but it does mean that you need to steward your job well where you are right now. And friends, our country desperately needs good stewards right now. Even amongst basic things like punctuality, working hard, handling finances well, being nice at work, all those basic stuff, our country needs it right now because of this connection between the gospel and my work life. And so I want to encourage you this morning, whatever you're doing right now, is where God has placed you. It's where God would have you be. You need to embrace that as your calling. You are full-time already where you are right now. And God wants to use you there to impact people's lives in a dramatic way. Maybe you're a house mom. Maybe you're a housewife. God wants you to use you to impact your children. Maybe you're working in an office or a business. Maybe you're a driver like Cedric. Maybe you're an advocate. Maybe you're a teacher. Many of you are spread out. We gather on Sundays and then we scatter during the week. And then we gather on Sundays and then we scatter. And you are scattered into all different places in the city. And God wants to use you where He scattered you. And so you need to settle that. And it will help you so much if you say, no, my workplace is my calling. Let me use it for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Let me not just look at the problems at work. Let me look at the opportunities at work for the glory of God. It'll change your whole life. As Paul says here, where God has placed you is where He wants to use you. Amen. But secondly, there are also some principles that I need to have, that I need to be aware of. And I'm going to run through these fairly quickly, but there's some gospel principles I need to keep in mind. First of all, I need to realize that the gospel gives me a real identity without which work will sink me. The gospel gives me an identity rooted in Christ, not just in my work or in my performance. In the world, our activity, what we do, gives us identity. So one of the first questions people ask you is, what do? Because people connect your identity with what you do. But the gospel's different. The gospel gives you an identity in Christ. Hallelujah. And that helps to affect what I do. And so the gospel gives me real identity. I need to find my identity in Christ. So if you lose that promotion, I've still got my identity in Christ. Hallelujah. If I'm doing a humble job, like being a fuel attendant or a street sweeper or whatever, my identity in Christ is in that, is in Christ, not in what I do for Christ. Hallelujah. Secondly, the gospel will also give you dignity, otherwise work can frustrate you. Work can frustrate you, and so the gospel gives you dignity, and all work is good. God Himself is a worker. He was a gardener and a creator. Hallelujah. And when he created us, he got down into the dirt, into the soil. And he scooped the soil together. And he got maybe he got the soil under his fingernails. And he scooped it together and he made man. And he fashioned man out of the soil. And he breathed ruach, life into man. And he became a living being. Hallelujah. And so God is a worker. Jesus himself spent 30 years in a carpenter shop learning from his dad. He was a tradesman before he began 3 years of ministry. The gospel will also give me a moral compass without which work will corrupt you. And so today the problem in South Africa is what is moral is what is legal. But actually I need a deeper sense of morality. I need God to rule over my conscience and my life. And so I have a moral compass of right and wrong and integrity and honesty and hard work because the gospel is ruling my life. Hallelujah. The gospel will also give you a new worldview, number four. Otherwise, work will become your master and not your servant. It gives me a new set of values. It helps me to know right from wrong. Ask myself, why am I making a profit? Am I paying my workers properly? How are my relationships at work? The gospel will also give me hope when work depresses me. Maybe you prefer Fridays to Mondays. I don't know, but the gospel will help you with Mondays and Fridays. The gospel will also help to reveal my idols at work. Am I making work too important? Am I making money or status too important? Or am I doing work, listen to this, that I'm actually not gifted to do? Have I been promoted to the level of my incompetence? And is my situation at work so difficult that maybe I need God to give me a new job? The gospel penetrates those areas of our lives. And also being accountable, asking the Lord to help me to be a better worker so that I can upskill myself in the workplace. I can improve, I can grow with my hard skills and also my soft skills. My people skills, my blind spots, being open to change, God changing me and growing me in the workplace as well. It's so important. Knowing my gifts. As I said to you before, Strength Finders really helped us here in this office, knowing our strengths and flowing in our strengths as well. And the gospel helps us with that. Number seven, the gospel will also give you a new audience at work. So I'm working for Jesus. I'm not just working for my boss. Hallelujah. So when they leave the office, I actually carry on working because Jesus is watching when he isn't. The gospel will also give you rest so that work doesn't kill us. We have a Sabbath rest. We take time off so we can be recreated again. And finally, the gospel helps me to be a good witness at work. A good witness at work, being an encourager, being pleasant at work, making an impact in the workplace. You know, when the Reformation happened in the 16th century and the gospel broke out in Europe and people began to, from the Catholic Church in particular, people began to see justification by faith and people came into a glorious relationship with Jesus. It spilled over with the Puritan movement in England into many other areas of life and into society and into the way I live and in the way I work. It was part of the Protestant Reformation and you had a what they call the Protestant work ethic. And people were hard working. They were diligent. They did an excellent job. Do you do an excellent job in your workplace? They were hardworking. They were not lazy. As we've said before, the only place you find success before work is in the dictionary. Sorry, I've said that before. Punctuality, delay of gratification, not running up debt with my first paycheck, honesty and integrity. And treating people the same. And so these gospel principles filter into the workplace. And they affect the way that I work and what I do for the glory of God. Hallelujah. And I want to encourage you this morning as we do the stewardship series. Say, Lord, speak to me from Monday to Friday. How can it affect my view of work and what I do at work as well? Let the gospel filter into these areas of my life so people can see there's something different about me. Hallelujah. And finally, I want to just talk about partnering with God in the workplace as I draw to a close. I want to also encourage you to partner with God in the workplace, to be creative in your workplace and allow God to break in. Masala was saying last week that in Genesis, God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply and have dominion over every area of life that I've given you. And so I want to encourage you to be creative. Get a fresh vision for your work. How you can be the best for Christ in the workplace. Hallelujah. Allow God to use you to know your strengths, to know your weaknesses, to know your capacity. What is my capacity? Be aware of where He's placed you and then gather together all those resources for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Is this helpful? Just have a different perspective of where God has placed you. I want to read you a story. Maybe many of you have read it already, but it's a story about a petrol attendant. It happened in May, but this guy's name is Nosisiko Mbele, and he was a petrol attendant in the Western Cape. And what happened was this lady, Monette van Deventer, she pulled into the garage and she forgot her credit card and her cash at home. And she had no more petrol. And so it says here, let me read you the story. On the 30th of May, 2019, she stopped at the petrol station. While I was looking for my card, a conscientious young man began to clean my windows. After the search, I told him I couldn't find my card. And unfortunately, wouldn't be able to pay for petrol. What happened next has gone viral, inspired the nation, and galvanized South Africans to dig deep and to bless this guy. There's a lot of goodwill in our nation if it's just given an opportunity. And so he said to me, you can't run out of petrol on the N2. I'll give you 100 rand, and then you can just bring back my 100 rand whenever you hear again. Without even asking, he started to fill up my car with 100 rand petrol, and he paid with his own card. He didn't ask for her name or her number. He just said she has to drive safely. When I returned later to give him the money, I asked what made him help me and how he could trust me that I returned the money. He said, ma'am, I'm a believer. Oh, I love that part. Oh, I love that part. May that go viral. Hallelujah. I'm a believer. Monette was so moved by how many South Africans react to the story, so she put it on this crowdfund website. She raised 500,000 bucks that week for this guy. And now it's standing at $1 million. $1 million. For 100 bucks. And so they've set up a trust for this guy and for his family because he says, listen, you better not give me all the cash. And if people now got all this cash, I'm in trouble. And he says, I just wanted to help the nation. In addition to the money he'll receive from the crowdfund, he's also been awarded 500,000 from Shell to donate to a charity of his choice and be nominated for an internal excellence award where he'll be flown to an annual conference in Zanzibar to receive. The Shell chairman called him a national hero to thank him for this act of kindness. Friends, our country is desperate for these stories. There's been so much bad news. There's been so much negative news. People are desperate for this. They're desperate for it. We decided to respond to what the public has done, and we donated $500,000 to a charity that you'll choose. Nosisiko has expressed sheer gratitude for the kind support he's received from South African people. and would like to remind everyone that all focus and praise should go to God, who inspires all good deeds. Hallelujah. This is the real South Africa. And it's stories like these that remind us of who we really are. Amen. So sometimes God can take, as I draw to a close, God can take a small thing you do and he can multiply it and he can change it and he can affect a whole nation, as happened with this guy. It was the best $100 he ever invested in his life. It was better than going to the casino. Hallelujah. And God used it for his glory. God can do things with you in the workplace. Amen. You don't need to maybe give $100 away tomorrow. Maybe you do. But just change your attitude. Realize that where you are is where God's placed you. It's your calling. It is your calling. Just as my calling is to serve here. You're all full time. Secondly, let's learn these gospel principles in a nation that's lost its way in terms of good stewardship. And lastly, that's my last point. Can you remember? Partner with God. Be creative. Think outside the box. Go to work tomorrow and think, what can I do differently? What do I need to do differently in the workspace for the glory of God?